This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam sallam kathira. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Salatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. Inshallah is going to be a start of at least a series that I'll be doing as part of Friday Night Lights, and it's one that I've been wanting to do for a while and I've talked to people about, and it's called Heroes and Villains. And the idea is that we're normally very familiar with the heroes of the Quranic story, or the heroes in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even the heroes in our history, Islamic history. So you hear about people like Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, you hear about people like Imam Ahmad, you hear about the heroes. But we don't ever, or very rarely, focus on the actual villains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the villains quite a lot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the purpose of why He mentions villains. Number one is, a person then appreciates and understands that there will always be enemies. There will always be villains. And so there's no level of niceness that a person can have. There's no level of ikhlas that a person can have. There's no level of integrity that a person can have, sincerity that a person can have, where all of a sudden they won't have enemies. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا. Allah says, we have made for every prophet enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am verse 112 and in Surah Al-Furqan verse 31. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. We have made for every prophet enemies from the criminals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ in Surah Al-An'am, He says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. We made from every prophet, or for every prophet, enemies. Devils of the jinn and mankind. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, devils of mankind and the jinn. Devils of mankind and the jinn. The devils of mankind before the devils of the jinn. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every prophet has enemies. And so in reality, everyone who walks in the path of the prophets will also have enemies. There is nobody who comes with the message of tawheed except that they make enemies. That's what Waraq ibn Nawfal told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Khadija brought him to her cousin, and he said, I wish that I could live long enough to be there when your people expel you. And to be expelled by your people was something that had never been heard of before. You know how, like, it's a big deal in Western countries. You might have never heard, for example, of a person who was born a US citizen whose citizenship got revoked. Like, that doesn't happen. It's very, very rare. You never hear about these types of things. And yet, for a person to be expelled by their tribe was even more severe. It never happens. And so when Waraq ibn Nawfal says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you're going to be expelled by your people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam curiously asks, almost like in disbelief, he says, أَمُخْرِجِيَّهُمْ? Are they going to expel me? And he said, yes. He said, no people, no person comes with a message like what you came with, إِلَّا عُودِي, except that they are shown enmity to. They make enemies. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we've made for every prophet, in two verses, we've made for every prophet enemies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am verse 55, He says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah says, and thus do we detail the verses, and we make the way of the criminals to make evident. So that we make clear the verses so that the way of the criminals becomes clear. لِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. That you recognize the path of the criminals. You want to know their ways. We become aware of their ways so that we recognize their ways in our times and places. And you're going to see, inshallah ta'ala, a lot of parallels. Now, Fir'aun is the most named villain in the Qur'an. Even more than Iblis. Just like Musa alayhi salam is the most named prophet in the Qur'an, Fir'aun is the most named villain in the Qur'an. And when we look at the traits of Fir'aun, what are some of the things that are dominant to you? When you think of this personality, Fir'aun, what stands out to you? Okay, ignorance. Arrogance for sure. Very arrogant. What else stands out to you about the personality of Fir'aun? Oppression, very good. Are you guys looking at my notes or what? What else? What else? Sisters, what do y'all got? Huh? What's that? Ego, absolutely, right? So that's an extension of arrogance. What else? Huh? Selfishness, very selfish. Fir'aun is very selfish. Very powerful. He's... Yeah, we said arrogant. So arrogant. We also said also transgressive. He doesn't do things normally. You know, very vicious. So we're going to see some of these traits. So let's look at the first one that was mentioned, which is arrogance. So let's look at the arrogance of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse that we just recited in Al-Maghrib, the verses that begin Surah Al-Qasas, Allah says, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيعًا يَسْتَضِعْفُ طَائِفَةً يذبح أبناءهم يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that first portion of Surah Al-Qasas, Allah introduces Fir'aun and he says, Fir'aun ala fil ard, that ulu fil ard, that arrogance in the land. And so he was arrogant. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention arrogance here? And he says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. He was from the Mufsideen. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention arrogance first? Because arrogance is a causer of disbelief. Arrogance is a causer of disbelief. I want you to understand this verse very, very well that I'm going to read to you in Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf, verse 146. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, I am going to divert away from my signs. Because when you're reading the verses of the Quran, ayah is a sign. And so Allah says, I am going to divert away from my signs. These are people who are not going to be able to benefit from my signs. Who are they? Because we don't want to be them. He says, الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Those who have arrogance in the land, بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, without right. وَإِن يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. And if they were to witness every sign, they would not believe in it. Arrogance is one of the, if not the most major impediment to guidance. And that is why, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, the slogan of the salah is you say, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar destroys what? Arrogance. I don't believe in the superiority of white people. I don't believe in the superiority of black people. I don't believe the superiority of this race or that race, or men over women or women over men. I don't believe in any of that. You know who I believe in the superiority of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't believe in the supremacy of man. I believe in the supremacy of God. And then when you read Surah Al-Fatiha, because you're asking in Surah Al-Fatiha, you're asking for guidance. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Before you say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, what do you say? You say إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. You alone do we worship and you alone we seek for help. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that this verse destroys two debilitating diseases of the heart. The first one, إياك نعبد. What does إياك نعبد destroy? It destroys ريا. ريا is to do something for an audience other than Allah, something that is normally done for Allah, a religious act for other than Allah. Riya destroys, or the statement إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ destroys that disease. And then number two, he says وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone we seek for help. He says this destroys kibir. Kibir, arrogance. And I need for kibir to be destroyed. I need to destroy this quality in my heart if it exists. Why? Because if I have kibir, if I have arrogance, I won't benefit from the signs of Allah. Because Allah says so. He says, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِ. I am going to divert away from my signs everybody who's arrogant. So if I'm arrogant, I can't benefit from the Quran, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I wouldn't be able to benefit from the signs. In fact, Allah says, if they were to see every sign, they wouldn't benefit from it. I always used to wonder, like, how is it that some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in other places in the Quran, He says, if we were to make for them stairway to the heavens, and they ascended, if they literally ascended into the heavens, they would say, our eyes have become bewitched. They still wouldn't believe. It's like, how is this the case? Allah says here that if they were to see every sign, they wouldn't believe in it. But when the hearts are locked off, you know, there's one of our sisters, she's from Bosnia, and she lived during the Bosnian genocide. And she said, you know, when we were going through what we were going through in Bosnia, we thought, if only the international community saw what was happening to us. If only they knew what was going on. The killing, the atrocities, the destruction of our homes, the destruction of our masajid, the destruction of our institutions. If they saw what the Serbs were doing, they undoubtedly would come and help us. But the problem is the media, the word isn't getting out. And so our brothers and sisters from Bosnia right now are living through their trauma again as they watch what's happening unfold in Gaza. And for her, she commented and she said, now we're seeing all of the same things happening, but we're realizing that it's not a matter of them being able to see, because they're seeing what's happening in Gaza now. It's not the eyes that are blind. Allah says, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبْصَارِ. But it's the hearts that become blind. And so one of the things that a person needs to be aware of and frightened of is that I have an arrogance that causes me to not benefit from the signs of Allah. And that's why before we enter into the salah and we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, we're seeking to remove this attribute from ourselves, because when I'm reciting the Qur'an and I'm hearing the Qur'an being recited, these are the signs of Allah. So I don't want that arrogance to be a block between me and that. Now, Fir'aun was arrogant. He's not going to be a personality that's going to recognize signs. The fact that Allah introduces him as arrogant indicates that he's not going to recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Musa suffers from the arrogance of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut verse 39, وَقَارُونَ وَفِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كَانُوا سَابِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Qarun and Haman and Fir'aun, all of them were arrogant in the land, and they weren't sabiqeen, they weren't going to outrun our punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, في تسع آيات in Surah An-Naml, في تسع آيات إلى فرعون وقومه, that Fir'aun and his people were given 9 signs. They were given 9 signs. And when they saw the signs, جَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ, Allah says, they rejected the signs outwardly, even though they were certain of them. So Fir'aun, his first quality is arrogance. And Musa alayhi salam, he makes dua in Surah Ghafir verse 27. He says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى إِنِّي عُثْتُ بِرَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مُتَكَبِّرٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. Musa says, I seek refuge in my Lord and your Lord from every mutakabbir, from every arrogant person who does not believe in the Day of Judgment. And so these signs were sent to Fir'aun, and there's difference of opinion with regards to what the 9 signs were, but we can say that they were the flood and the locusts and the lice and the frogs and the blood. These were distinct signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, but also you can add the staff that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa that turns into the serpent, and his hand that would shine bright, and the drought as well, and the splitting of the sea. And so these were all signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Fir'aun and his people, but yet they rejected them all. His superiority complex led him to a level where he even claimed to be God. Fir'aun said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your Lord, the Most High. And Ibn al-Jawzi, he has an interesting quote here. Ibn al-Jawzi, he says that when Iblis met Fir'aun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where this happened, but he says that when Iblis met Fir'aun, Iblis said to him, I just wanted to come and see you because I'm amazed at you. And Fir'aun said, why? Iblis said, I rejected to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was enough to get me expelled from paradise. But you took it to another level. You claim to be Allah. That is al-junun al-barid. He says, that is pure insanity. Like, even you outdid me. But Fir'aun's arrogance took him to that level. Fir'aun was arrogant. And we also said that Fir'aun was an oppressor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he was from al-mufsideen. He was from the mufsideen. So that's our second quality that we want to look at very quickly. Or actually, even before that, let's look at his transgression. What does transgression mean? Transgression means when you do something beyond its normal bounds. Tughyan. Tughyan is when you go beyond boundaries. So Fir'aun doesn't just kill, but he kills mercilessly. Fir'aun doesn't just kill, but he tortures. Fir'aun, we'll see what he does. It's one thing to kill adults. It's another thing to kill babies. He doesn't simply lie. He has no code of honor. Fir'aun does everything to a wicked extent. And there's a lot of examples, but we can look at the example of the hairdresser of Fir'aun. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was ascending to the Mi'raj, when he was ascending into the heavens, he smelt the fragrance, a beautiful fragrance, and he asked Jibreel, what is this fragrance? And he said, this is the fragrance of the hairdresser of the child of Fir'aun. What is the story of this woman? She is the hairdresser of one of Fir'aun's daughters. And so when her comb fell, or her brush, she said, Bismillah. She just said, naturally, she said, Bismillah. And so the girl said, Abi, my dad? Like, in the name of my dad? Because Fir'aun claimed to be God. And then she said, no, my God and your dad's God is Allah. And so she said, I'm going to tell my dad what you said. She said, tell him. Now, when Fir'aun finds out that a woman in his care, this woman, is worshiping someone other than him, again, he is transgressive. He's not just going to imprison her. He's not even just going to kill her. What does he do? He brings a cauldron with boiling liquid, whether it's oil or something else. And he brings this woman and her children. And he says, if you take a God other than me, you're going to watch all of your children die in front of you, this painful death. And so the woman, she says, my Lord and your Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First child thrown in the cauldron. Second child thrown in the cauldron. This incredible evil. Third child is thrown in the cauldron. Finally, the baby that's in her, that she's holding, is taken from her. And in that moment, she hesitates. And then the baby says to his mother, Mom, be patient, you're upon the truth. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that this is one of the few babies that spoke in the cradle. And then the baby and his mother were killed. And this woman entered into the Jannah and her children as well. And so the evil of Fir'aun, his transgression, you see what he does to the magicians. He says, this is كبيركم الذي علمكم السحر. آمنتم بأنه قبل أن آذن لكم إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر. He says, you have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they believed in Allah after the showcase with Musa. You believed in him without me commanding you or me giving you permission. إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمُكُمْ السِّحْرِ. He is the head of you who taught you magic. I just want you to think about this. Fir'aun, in 1 second, went from, these are my magicians, and you will be brought near to me if you defeat Musa, because that's what the dialogue is. And he goes, after they accept Islam, and they recognize and believe in the Lord of Musa, what does Fir'aun say? He says, he is your leader who taught you magic. What evidence does Fir'aun have for this claim that he just made? What evidence does he have? Is there anything to indicate that Musa had some sort of relationship with these magicians from before? That Musa taught them magic from before? There's nothing. He literally came up with that idea out of thin air. But that shows you the level of delusion that Fir'aun has. That he doesn't have to have any sort of evidence for the claims that he makes. He just makes them up as he goes. And he has the people who believe in him, whatever claim he makes. Come up with any claim. And this is something that you see again and again and again with Fir'aun's personality. He makes up lies and he twists and distorts the truth. The magicians, actually we'll come back to that in a second. But the magicians, immediately Fir'aun comes up with this distortion. He says, he's your leader. He's the one who is teaching you magic. And then he says, so I will crucify you. لَقَطْعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. I will cut your hands and your legs. I'll cut off your right hand with your left leg, foot. All right, so that awkwardness, that imbalance. And then he says, and I will crucify you on the trunks of palm trees. Completely excessive in the way that he punishes. But that's Fir'aun's personality. He's been living with impunity his whole life, and so he has that transgression. Now, what is the cause of that transgression? What is the cause of that transgression? What causes for a person to be like that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that that is human nature when something happens. He says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. In Surah Al-Alaq, Allah says human beings become transgressive. When do they become transgressive? When they feel like they're independent. When they feel like they're independent. You know, when you're a kid, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, you don't talk back to your parents. When do you start to talk back to your parents? Never, right? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. But when, Amir, when do people start talking back to their parents? Adult. Teenager, really. Teenager, when they, you know, suddenly, all of a sudden, you become taller than your dad. That's when you start to talk back a little bit. You get your driver's license, you start talking a little bit. The more you become independent, the more you start to talk more. And then, if a person becomes in a position where their parents are dependent on them financially or what have you, might find that they have a little bit more to say. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى رَاهُ اسْتَغْنَى. And it's very important that we don't learn these lessons for the purpose of Fir'aun, but that I don't have any Fir'aunic tendencies in myself. How am I with regards to the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? You know, I love when people accept Islam after having worked for a Muslim. When you have somebody who's an employee of a Muslim boss, and they come and they accept Islam. Like last year we had Ahsan and Usher, mashallah, they've got their phone kiosks. Shout out for them, right? And in Ramadan they brought two of their employees, mashallah, and they came in and they accepted Islam. I'm like, that's the best. Because that showcases that even when you're in a position of authority, your akhlaq are enough to attract a person to want to be part of Islam. And that's the way that Islam spread in many places in the world, most famously Malaysia and Indonesia, that the Muslim merchants came and people accepted Islam because they were so impressed with their character. What about when you hire help and you bring them to your house? Are they going to become infatuated with Islam because of, wallahi Shaykh, you know, I feel like in a lot of places in the Muslim world, we know that in lots of places in the Muslim world, the way that help are treated is not good. But in a lot of places in the Muslim world, they're treated very, very well. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should feed them from what you eat. And in a lot of places, we have a beautiful culture of inviting them to eat with the family. Everybody's in this together, and that's Islamic. And so even here, whether in Houston or anywhere else, if you ever have somebody who's working at your house or contracting, whatever, that you feed them from what you eat as well. These are beautiful qualities. That's a quick tangent. But anyway, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. So that we don't have these qualities in ourselves. So what's the solution to transgression then? How does a person protect themselves from transgression? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Whoever transgresses and prefers this life, then Al-Jahim is going to be their destination, the hellfire. He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And whoever fears the station of their Lord and actively restrains their nafs, their desire, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then Jannah is their destination. And so it's two things. Number one, that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is no one who's above me in this job, in this business, in this household, that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is above me. خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And then number two, I suffocate my ego. What our sister mentioned, ego, I suffocate my ego. I suffocate my nafs. I realize that this is something that I have to work on because Islam calls me to suffocate my nafs. He says, and then number three, a third quality is his oppression. Fir'aun was a clear, clear oppressor. But it's not just Fir'aun who was an oppressor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا in Surah Al-Qasas, Fir'aun took Musa into his household so that Musa could be an enemy for him as well as a cause of grief. Musa was going to be a cause of grief. But then Allah says, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ Allah says, Fir'aun was an oppressor, Haman was an oppressor, and his soldiers were oppressors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ And Allah says about Fir'aun, that Fir'aun was arrogant in the land, yes, but also his soldiers were arrogant in the land, without right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِنُرِيَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَحْذَرُونَ That we brought Musa, we sent Musa to Fir'aun to show Fir'aun and Haman and their soldiers what they were fearing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't differentiate between the wrongdoing of Fir'aun and those who followed his commands. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a number of places in the Quran how he casted Fir'aun and his soldiers. His soldiers get a shout out as well into the water, into the river. And so Fir'aun and his soldiers were, the soldiers were not absolved. And Imam Ibn Jawzi, he mentions in Sayyid al-Khatir that a prison guard asked Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad is in prison. And he says to him, am I one of those who helped the oppressors? This prison guard. He says to Imam Ahmad, listen, like, I'm just the guard. I didn't put you in jail. But he says, am I one of those who are helping the oppressors? Am I helping those who are doing wrong because I'm a guard in these prisons, in these systems? And Imam Ahmad says to him, no. You're not one of those who are helping the oppressors. He says, you're one of the oppressors. He says, you're one of the oppressors. He says, those who help the oppressors are like the one who helps you. Whoever helps you, whoever is bringing you food or something like that. He said, but no, you're in the loop. You're not outside of the loop at all. And so this is also a warning for, you know, as we're seeing whatever is happening, whether abroad or internally here with the protests and what have you, is that a person is not absolved of responsibility, whether they're a police department official or campus security or anybody. You're not absolved of responsibility just because you're following orders from a chain of command. You know, we had a hero who passed away, who was killed, rahimahullah, actually, 2 weeks ago, Muhammad Siddiq, rahimahullah. He was a soldier in Sudan, and he was a first lieutenant. And this man is a national hero at the moment. And he's really a hero of the ummah. We're talking about heroes and villains. So this man, young man, when he was, in 2019, when the protests happened in Sudan, and the people did an encampment at Al-Qiyad Al-Amma. They did an encampment at the defense headquarters. The people are protesting, mass protests, what have you. Eventually, they were going to break up the protests. And in fact, it ended up being broken up very violently. It was like a turning point in our modern history, this bloodshed that happened. But before that happened, this man came with a tank to protect the protesters. He's a soldier. And he came to protect the protesters. And he said, I'm not here to... The job of any soldier should not be to follow orders to disband the protesters, but to defend the Sha'ab. And one of our problems that we all know that in the Muslim world, many times, unfortunately, the Muslim armies are there pointing inward at the population they're supposed to protect. They're not pointed outwards at the state's enemies. In any case, this man, he became dismissed by the army because if you don't follow orders, then you're not trusted. And they definitely don't want mutiny to happen by other soldiers being inspired by this person. And so they dismissed him. But then when this war happened this past year, the National Army needed everybody possible. Everybody. They needed everybody who knows how to shoot a gun to come, basically. And so he came back. And he, rahimahullah, last week he was basically, the RSF was approaching a region, in West Sudan called Al-Jinena. And he said, I'm not going to wait for these militia to come to us. I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet them, even if I meet them by myself. And so he went, and he was ended up being captured by the RSF. And it was a very horrible video you saw of them like surrounding him, which is a war crime. He's a prisoner of war at this moment, but they surrounded him and they said, you know, what speech do you have to say now? Because he was very impactful in his speeches. So what speech do you have now? And so then the next video showed he had been killed, rahimahullah ta'ala. But that idea of someone who, even if I'm being commanded by my higher ups to harm the people that I'm entrusted to protect, that I'm not going to follow those orders. So how does Fir'aun then, we've got these three qualities. We've got the quality of oppression, we have the quality of ifsad, corruption, and we have the quality of arrogance. How does Fir'aun hold on to power? One of the ways, which I was alluding to earlier, is the complete distortion of the truth. Complete distortion. So what does Fir'aun say? Musa alayhi salam, he comes to Fir'aun. And he says, as Allah told him, Allah says, فَأْتِيَاهُ فَقُولَا إِنَّا رَسُولَا رَبِّكَ فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا تُعَذِّبُهُمْ. Go to Fir'aun and say to him, we are two messengers from your Lord. Send with us Bani Israel, وَلَا تُعَذِّبْهُمْ, and don't punish them. That's the mission of Musa. The mission of Musa is to bring the believers of Bani Israel out of enslavement in Egypt and to take them back to the Holy Land. He doesn't want to stay in Egypt. Fir'aun receives that message from Musa. But what does he say? At the reality, he doesn't want Musa, he doesn't want Bani Israel to leave. You can complain about Bani Israel as much as you want, you can enslave Bani Israel, but he doesn't want them to leave. And that shows us, though many societies have undesirables, people that they claim are undesirables, they wouldn't want them to leave. So as much as we talk about illegal immigrants here in the United States, as much as we complain about them and don't want them and all this type of stuff, what would the US be without the illegal population here? How many jobs do they take that Americans simply do not want to do? And so their presence here is actually something that is desirable while we do this dance of them being called undesirable. And Fir'aun didn't want Bani Israel to leave. They were the working class, they were the enslaved class. And Fir'aun immediately receives that message and he distorts the truth. What does he say? He says, أَجِئْتَنَا لِتُخْرِجِنَا مِنْ أَرْضِنَا بِسِحْرِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Like, it's unbelievable. Musa comes to him and says, I want to leave with Bani Israel, we want to leave Egypt. He says to them, Musa, did you come to expel us from our land with your magic? Musa's like, no, I didn't come to expel you from your land. I don't want to stay in Egypt. I don't want Egypt. You can have Egypt. All of you guys, we don't want anything to do with Egypt. We just want to leave. He says, you're trying to expel us from Egypt. He flipped the message completely 180 degrees. Where have you seen that before? And in fact, the word spreads. So what did they say in Surah Taha, verse 63? قَالُوا إِنَّ هَذَانِ لَسَاحِرَانِ يُرِيدَانِ يُخْرِجَاكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِكُمْ بِسِحْرِهِمَا وَيَذْهَبَا بِطَرِيقَتِكُمُ الْمُثْلَى. They said, these are two sorcerers who have come to expel you from our land. And they want to, look at this, look at how incredible the Quran is. وَيَذْهَبَا, and they want to take away your طريقتكم المثلى, your exemplary way of life. Look at how old this argument is. They hate us for our freedoms. Ya salam. That's what they hate. They wanna alter your way of life. They want to change your way of life. That's the reason why they hate you. That's the reason why they're coming and causing such trouble. This is complete opposite of what Fir'aun had heard from Musa. And we see that distortion today. When you have Israel practicing a genocide against the Palestinians, what does Netanyahu say? He says, today again, we saw an upside down world in which the state of Israel is accused of genocide at a time when it's fighting genocide. Yani, they are fighting, genocide is being done to them. And that's what you see everybody parroting. You say, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They say that's anti-Semitic, that's a genocidal statement. What genocide? What are you talking about? We're talking about the freedom of a population. How did that get distorted to being claimed that it's a genocidal statement? These are the same tactics of Fir'aun from 1,000 years ago, or from thousands of years ago. And then his delusion is paired with audacity. Look at this audacity. Fir'aun says to Musa, he says, أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا. He says, when Musa comes to him the first time, he says, didn't we raise you as a baby, وَلِيدًا, as a baby? وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمْرِكَ سِنِينَ. And you live amongst us for many years. وَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ. And you did that thing that you did. وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And you are from those who are ungrateful. Okay, how many people did Musa kill by accident, Fir'aun? How many people did you kill, Fir'aun? And yet, Fir'aun turns around and is accusing Musa of that one person. And he's got a blind eye. He does not see the thousands that he killed. It's nothing. That is the delusion that is Fir'aunic, and that is the delusion that we see here. That is the delusion that we see here. People talk about October 7th, and they don't care about October 6th, October 5th, October 4th, October 8th, October 9th, October 10th, October 11th, October 12th, October 13th. We're 8 months in now. Thousands of people have been killed. And the years before. But look at what Musa says. Musa says something really powerful. Wallahi, this story of Musa and Fir'aun, you could spend so much time on it. It deserves it. What does Musa say? He says, فَعَلْتُهَا, I did it when I was mistaken. الضالين. فَفَرَّتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ. And I fled from you when I was afraid of you. Until he says something incredible. He says, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Because what is Fir'aun? He says, and this is a blessing that you are holding over my head, that you enslave the children of Israel. Like when Fir'aun is basically saying to him, we raised you, we took care of you, and you are ungrateful. Musa is saying, oh, you took care of me? Okay, you took care of me, but this is something that you're holding over my head, that you enslave the children of, you don't get to claim to have fixed me when you caused my brokenness in the first place. You raised me? Why was my mother so afraid that she put me in a basket in a river in the first place? What was happening? You were slaughtering my people. And this statement by Musa alayhi salam is one, even if it's not articulated, it is something that has been felt by every child of privilege who does not forget the brokenness that is around them. That child who goes to the most prestigious universities in the world, but they don't forget the people who are around them whose only experience and opportunity was a school to prison pipeline. Or that refugee who comes to the United States or comes to any of the Western world and they're able to succeed, but they don't forget their people who are ravaged back home by a proxy war that is being created by the country that's given them refuge. Okay, you saved me. But what caused the brokenness that caused me to be a refugee in the first place? تِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلِيًا عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. You know, I remember my dad, rahimahullah, he went to this school in Sudan called Hantoub. It was a high school. At a time when it had three high schools in the entire country. There was only three high schools. And so he got into this high school. Obviously, you had to have incredible marks and all of that for you to be able to get in. And he got in. And my whole life, we'd hear stories about this incredible high school that was built by the British, curriculum by the British, teachers were British. It was a high school that sounded better than a lot of our universities. And so one time I was teasing him, or I was asking a question. I said, you know, a lot of times when I hear about Sudan, I hear about everything that was good was built by the British. Everything. The Jamaat al-Khartoum built by the British. the railroad tracks built, but everything. I said, why did y'all even kick them out? Why'd you kick them out? So he said to me, he said, three high schools in the entire country. Sure, if you got in, you had a world-class education, but everybody else had nothing, zero. He said, what oppression is greater than that? What oppression is greater than that? So that idea of, you know, the British, obviously they didn't want to educate the countries that they were colonizing. They simply wanted an aristocratic class that would be loyal to them. But these people did not end up being loyal to the British, they became loyal to their people. And so that's glad tidings for everybody who continues to engage on behalf of the broken, no matter what their personal privilege is. And in doing so, they're preceded by a mighty messenger of God, Musa alayhi salam. تِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ مِنْ إِسْرَائِيلَ. I grew up in your palace, sure. But is that a blessing that you're recounting to me when you enslaved the children of Israel? And so, Fir'aun does that. And then there's another tactic that Fir'aun uses, and then I want to wrap up, inshallah. But this is a powerful thing that Fir'aun does. And it's powerful how Musa responds. What does Fir'aun do? In that conversation, Fir'aun then says to him, Musa says, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بِإِسْرَائِيلَ. This is a blessing that you're counting to me that you enslaved. So then Fir'aun says, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, what is the Lord of the worlds? What is the Lord of the worlds? And then Musa says, قَالَ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا أَنْ كُنْتُمْ مُوقِنِينَ. He says, it is the Lord of the east and the west, or the heavens and the earth, if you have certainty. Then Fir'aun looks at those around him and he says, أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ. Do you not hear what he's saying? And then Musa says, رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ أَبَائِكُمْ الْأَوَّلِينَ. He says, it's your Lord and the Lord of your fathers. And this is a direct like punch in the face to Fir'aun, because Fir'aun is ruling by divine ancestry. I am a God and my parents were God and my grandparents were divine and my great grandparents. And Musa's coming and saying, no, he's your God and the God of your father and the God of your grandfather. Everybody. Allah is the God of everybody. And then Fir'aun says, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ رَبَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَالَ إِنَّ رَسُولُكُمْ الَّذِي أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ لَمَجْنُونَ. Fir'aun then is looking around. He's still talking to these people. He's like, the messenger that was sent to you is crazy. He's not responding to his arguments. He's just making accusations. And then Musa says, قَالَ رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Musa says, your Lord and the Lord of the East and the West, if you have sense. And then Fir'aun then says, if you take a God other than me, I will make you of those who are imprisoned. So now he's going straight into strong arming, threat. And then Musa alayhi salam says to him, أَوْ لَوْ جِئْتُكَ بِشَيْءٍ مُبِينٍ. If I come to you with something clear. Now, what Fir'aun does is in rapid succession is he throws a number of accusations against Musa. You're crazy. What is the Lord of the worlds? He's throwing these different things at Musa. Musa stays razor focused and he doesn't respond to any of these things. He focuses on the mission. Why is that important? You know, there's a quote by Toni Morrison. She says, the function, the very serious function of racism is distraction. It keeps you from doing your work. It keeps you explaining over and over again your reason for being. Somebody says you have no language and you spend 20 years proving that you do. Somebody says that your head isn't shaped properly, so you have scientists working on the fact that it is. Someone says you have no art, so you dredge that up. Someone says you have no kingdoms, so you dredge that up. None of this is necessary. There will always be one more thing. When you're always dealing with accusations and responding to the accusations, you never get to focus on your message. And I want you to imagine the past 20 years, how much the accusations of Islamophobia have zapped from our community, of us defending against these accusations, even though there will always be one more accusation, and never allowing us to focus on our mission and our message, which is to call people to Tawheed. Musa alayhi salam is dealing with the accusations of Fir'aun, but he doesn't say to him, no, I'm not crazy, let me, you know, this and this and that. He doesn't care. He focuses on talking about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, until Fir'aun finally says to him, listen, I'm going to throw you in jail if you take a God other than me. And then Musa still doesn't say, well, no, hold on. He just says, what if I come to you with a clear sign? And then he says, okay. And then they set the stage for the next stage. But the point here is the function of racism and the importance of not being distracted. And as we see now in this past 8 months, the number of accusations that are thrown out that have to be disproven and the amount of energy. And when it's disproven, there were no beheaded babies. How much time and energy had to be exerted? And yet, when it is disproven, how many people actually hear about the disprovement of that claim? And so the importance of really just honing in on a clear message and then not being distracted by the noise. And it's something that we need to get better on. And then, what else do I have here? The last thing that I'll just mention is how to defeat Fir'aun. How to defeat Fir'aun. Oh, actually, one more point. Sorry, I just want to mention this. Allah tells us about the people of Fir'aun. Allah says something very powerful about them. He says, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَاعُوا. Allah says, Fir'aun belittled his people. Istakhaffa is like khafif. Khafif means to be light. Like he didn't consider them worth anything. He considered them to be easy to maneuver, easy to manipulate. Istakhaffahum. It's like what Netanyahu said about the American people. He said, America is easy to move. That you don't think that they've got weight. Now, if the American people allow themselves to be maneuvered like that easily, then they might have the same issue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of Egypt at that time. He says, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمُهُ فَأَطَاعُوا. They obeyed him still. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. Allah says they were a wicked people. They were wicked, why? Because they allowed their intelligence and they allowed their commitment to be maneuvered so easily by somebody so nonsensical. At the end of the day, you have to think for yourself. At the end of the day, you have to use your own moral compass, your own moral judgment. Now look at the opposite of that. The opposite of that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says about the companions of Rasulullah, Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you were harsh and if you were severe with the companions, they would have dispersed from amongst you. The Sahaba would not have stood in line to be abused by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether verbally or otherwise. But the people of Fir'aun allowed for Fir'aun to manipulate them. And so Allah calls them an evil people. And so it is from righteousness that you have a dignity that you carry with you, that you don't allow for yourself to be belittled, whether that be your intelligence or your self-worth, as Sheikh Ja'far, Sheikh Idris, Hafizullah mentioned. Now, the last thing, sorry, is how to defeat Fir'aun. So there's a lot to be said here, but when we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the hero that he chose to defeat Fir'aun. Allah says about Musa, اصطنعتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I designed you for myself. I made you for myself. And I would refer you to look at the beginning of Surah Taha, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes all of the challenges that Musa went through as Allah describes his upbringing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. Allah describes so many hardships that Musa goes through, and then he says, and I cast upon you love from myself. And you're like, man, this is how Allah treats the one who he loves? This is, Allah loves Musa alayhi salam. And Musa goes through the hardship that Musa goes through, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is building someone who's going to go and have such a powerful mission. And so you have to have a personality. At the very least, even if you don't have the personality, you have some of these characteristics that Allah designed in Musa, whether it's strength or trustworthiness or chivalry or patience or seriousness. But just a few of the things that we look at the conclusion of the story of Musa, how Bani Israel was being prepared. Number one, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَأَخُوكَ بِآيَاتِ وَلَا تَلِيَا فِي ذِكْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you and your brother go with my signs and do not fatigue in my remembrance. And so the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that gives a person spiritual and physical strength. Spiritual and physical strength. So that you, when you meet an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are supported by the dhikr of Allah. Number two is salah. Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وأوحينا إلى موسى وأخيه أن تبوأ لقومكما بمصر بيوتا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we sent and we revealed to Musa and his brother that make the homes, your homes in Egypt, make them وَجَعَلُوا بِيُوتُكُمْ قِبْلَةً. Make your homes into places of prayer. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So the people of Misr, the Bani Israel, they were commanded to devote a lot of prayer in their homes. And then of course dua, Musa would eventually make dua against Fir'aun and against his people. Musa alayhi salam would eventually say, وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Musa would say, our Lord, indeed you've given Fir'aun and his establishment splendor and wealth in the worldly life. Our Lord, that they may lead men astray from your way. رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَى أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْتُدْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوْا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمَ. Our Lord, obliterate their wealth and harden their hearts so that they will not believe until they see the painful punishment. Musa alayhi salam eventually just asks Allah and he says, oh Allah, destroy Fir'aun and his people. As much sabr as Musa has, and we know the sabr of Musa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praises the sabr of Musa. In fact, he seeks sabr from knowing the sabr of Musa. And yet Musa comes the time when eventually you've seen so much, you've dealt with so much arrogance, you've seen and been hurt so much by this individual and his people, that Musa alayhi salam, he asks Allah, he doesn't even ask for them to be guided. He says, oh Allah, in fact, seal their hearts so that they don't believe until they see the painful punishment. And Fir'aun does not believe until he sees the painful punishment. All right, with that we end inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.